Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast, proudly sponsored by the great travel agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less Travel is the official travel agency of the Be Our Guest podcast, and that's for one simple reason. They are the best out there. They make sure that they work with their guests to save them as much money as possible, and they also have the experience to make sure that you are planning that perfect Disney vacation that you have dreamed about for so long. So work with our preferred travel agency, that is the Magic for Less Travel, over at www.themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 355 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and thank you so much for starting your week with us here on the Be Our Guest Podcast. And we are kind of back on schedule here on a Monday. We're going to talk a trip report with our good friend Jimmy from down in Texas. How's it going, Jimmy? You staying cool?
Yeah, trying to stay cool in the seat.
I know it's pretty brutal, but I can only imagine what the heat of Texas must feel like. It's bad in the Midwest, but Texas just seems like it's got to be one of the hottest places in the country.
It's surface of the sun hot.
There you go. Animal Kingdom hot for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So now you went with us on the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. Wow, it was almost a month ago now. I can't believe that. But today we're going to focus more on your stay at Walt Disney World because we have lots of folks that are planning trips to Disney and we love talking about Walt Disney World. So you stayed at two different resorts. You stayed at Pop Century the night before the cruise, and then the bulk of your Walt Disney World vacation was post-cruise. So let's start first of all with your stay at Pop Century the night before the cruise. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, we had driven by a few times when we take Magical Express to Caribbean and that places like that. It would, you know, stop off there, but had never stayed there, and actually had not intended to stay at any Disney resort the night before the cruise. But my travel agent at the Magic for Less, Deb, had suggested to me that we, you know, try to stay. Come in a day early and before the cruise, and so we originally had thought about staying out on the coast, near the ship. And eventually, I said, "Why are we going to do that? We might as well just stay at one of the Disney resorts." And Pop came to mind. We had wanted to try it, and we were really blown away. That is a wild place. Yeah. You know, everything's really big and. And lots of bright colors, and I think this might be in our future at some point. We really tend to be resort snobs. We tend to stay deluxe, but this was a fun place, and really enjoyed the everything Pop and having the food court and the gift shop all there together. That was really neat. Our room was great. We got paid extra for a preferred room, even though we were only staying one night. Kind of felt like we'd like to be up close, so we didn't spend a lot of our time walking. And so that worked out really well. We were in the 70s building up on the third floor and real close to the main building. And so that worked out good. And I think we may stay there in the future.
Yeah, it's a fun place. I mean, I always talk about how much our family loves Pop. We've kind of grown up with Pop, you know, as it opened. That's about the time that we started going to Disney every year, and we have lots of memories there. But really, you know, don't discount the value resorts on Disney property for those quick stays. You know, if you're going down for, like, for example, for Food and Wine weekend, I'm going down with Paige to run the race. We're going to have our event, which we'll announce here very soon during Food and Wine weekend. Lots of running around that weekend, so there's not going to be very much time at the resort. So that's why I went ahead this time and just booked All Star Sports to check that out. I haven't been there in years. So I think you make a good point that if you're, you know, looking for somewhere, hey, we have a night or maybe two nights, you know, don't overlook the value resorts.
That's right. And that really worked out well for us. You know, it normally it's just me and my wife, and so, you know, the room is plenty big, even though it's, you know, it's a value room and it's, you know, a little smallish compared to the deluxe rooms. It was really plenty for us and worked out fine. You know, just for us, I'm not sure I'd stay there for a whole week, but that, again, we've gotten so used to the deluxe that, you know, and all the amenities there that works out good for us. But this is a nice place, and I think it's great for families.
Absolutely. We love going there, and, you know, the same for the All-Stars. You know, I'm kind of like a snob with Pop just because we have that personal connection to it, but I'm really excited because I've seen pictures in the last few weeks from folks that are staying at sports, music, and movies, and, you know, there's a charm to those resorts as well, so I'm excited for that. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that you went down a day before the cruise, and let me just, you know, we joke about making your, you know, helping your travel agent to sleep better by going to Disney a day before your cruise so you know you're there and you're not literally going to miss the boat. But I think even as the guest, you had the peace of mind knowing you're in Florida, you're 45 minutes from Port Canaveral, and everything looks good. I mean, do you feel the same way yourself, like it was peace of mind for you?
Absolutely. We got to the resort a good 24 hours before we ended up, you know, being picked up by the Disney Cruise Line bus. So, you know, we slept good that night and no worries about that. And you know, that evening, we had gone to Epcot that evening. And when we came back, there was a note in our room about, you know, when the cruise line bus was going to pick us up. And so it was just, it worked out really smooth, and it was a good stay, and I think a very good decision on our part.
Cool. So hopefully, folks, you know, we have lots of people that are considering cruises for the first time, and, you know, there's so much more to consider when you're going on a cruise, because it's just a lot different dynamic. But definitely go down the night before, get that Disney feeling going by staying on site at Disney. You know, they'll take you over there for a nominal fee, take care of everything. You walk right into the port, and it works out well for everybody. So glad that worked out, you know, great for you guys. And so let's talk for just a minute about the cruise. I know we're not going to spend a bulk of the time today about the cruise, but, you know, if you had to sum up your thoughts on sailing on the Disney Dream, you know, what did you think?
Well, the ship is really, really something. We had taken our first Disney cruise on the Wonder 5 years ago, and just, you know, we're blown away by that. But this is this Dream boat is on steroids compared to that. You know, it's just really something. And of course, you know, the hospitality that Disney is famous for is just plussed when you get on the boat. So it was a great experience. And I think the one thing we took away from this was it's more fun to cruise with a group than it is just, you know, just me and my wife, which is what we did the first time. So we enjoyed cruising with all of you and all of our friends from the podcast. And that was the main thing that we took away from this, that it was just more fun with the group.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I've done cruises, you know, just my wife and I, and it is. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, having your friends all around the ship. And like I, you know, we've said on the other shows, you can always find time to be with, you know, your significant other and go to, you know, a nice dinner, go see the show by yourselves. But it's cool, you know, just to walk around and bump into people and have something in common. So totally agree with you there, and can't wait till 2013. Once we get those dates, people, I promise you, we're going to get the information out there, because I can't wait to get scheduling the next Be Our Guest podcast cruise. But let's get back to your stay. Okay, so we arrive back. It's that sad day when you're all of a sudden, you look out your window and the old ship's parked at the same place where everything started. You know, you got to get off the ship. But you guys had, a good Disney vacation still in front of you, which I think kind of gets over those post-cruise blues. And you guys headed over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. So give us the thoughts on that resort. I mean, going from Pop, that's a significant step up.
Well, you know, I've been a Disney fan for many years and have been, you know, reading the message boards for many years. And you know, they always say, if you're going to do a split stay, most people will say, you know, do the lower resort first and then step up to the other one. And, of course, that's the way we did it with the cruise in between. But, you know, that worked out really well. And so, you know, on our previous cruise, we had stayed at Beach Club Villas, for a week prior to our cruise. That was in 06, and that was great. It was a wonderful vacation. But I remember when we got off the ship that we were kind of bummed because we had, you know, been able to relax on the ship, and now it's time to go home. And we were kind of, you know, I wish we had some time back at the park. So this time I reversed it, and I know I kind of went against the grain. Most of our group did, you know, the Disney World part in front, and everybody was questioning me, but that really worked out well for us. We got off the ship, and, you know, we were chilled, we were relaxed, and we still had a week to go at Walt Disney World and the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we were very excited about that. And we had decided our room wasn't ready, so we went to Downtown Disney, and we're going to go over to Earl of Sandwich, and a place we like to go, and get a sandwich and just kind of relax and wait for the text to come in saying our room was ready. And on the bus from Animal Kingdom Lodge, we ran into several folks from that had gone on the cruise with us, and they were like, "Oh, are y'all going home today?" We're like, "No, we got a whole week left." And they were really bummed that we had time left, and they were having to go home. But so that worked out really well for us. That was a good decision, and I think we would do that again. As far as the Animal Kingdom Lodge, this was our third stay there, and it's become our favorite resort. This time and the previous time that we stayed there, we have rented DVC points from DVC owners. Unfortunately, we are not DVC owners ourselves, but would like to be one day. But in the meantime, we have kind of getting used to renting reservations from owners. And this particular time, we worked with a gentleman from Rhode Island, of all places, and he set us up with a studio there, and worked out really good. Everything went real smooth, and it, you know, the best part is we ended up paying less per night at Animal Kingdom Lodge than we did at Pop Century.
Wow.
Which, you know, that's really something. And of course, you know, while Pop Century is awesome, I mean, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge is a deluxe for a reason. And, you know, great restaurants and the Savannah out back, and the rooms are just phenomenal, and the lobby and everything. So this is our favorite resort. We talked afterwards about, well, maybe it's time to, you know, go check out some other ones. But we do enjoy staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, it's so hard to, you know, once you really have this love for a place, for your resort at Disney, it's so hard to stretch out, you know, and go other places, even though we're trying. I'm forcing my family to, you know, get outside our comfort zone, get away from French Quarter, get away from Pop, and, you know, explore other places. And I'm glad we have, but I know exactly what you're saying, because, you know, even when you're leaving a theme park, you'll see the buses for your favorite resort. Like, oh, I kind of want to go back there, even though you're staying somewhere else. So totally get that. Now, did you guys have a lot of time to explore Animal Kingdom Lodge? Because there's great restaurants there. You know, you have all the animals. There's so much to do at that particular resort. Did you set aside time just for the resort itself?
Well, we did. But I will tell you this, it's like again, going on the cruise. There is way more than you can ever do. They have a lot of things for families and for children. Of course, we didn't have any children with us, so we didn't really do any of that. But we saw a lot of it, and you know, where it was offered. And they have pretty much the same thing you get on the cruise, a paper that comes out every day that tells you, you know, these are all the things that are going on here at the resort. We did take time to, of course, go out and view the animals, and had a really nice conversation with one of the cast members who is from Africa, and talked with him for, 10, 15 minutes, and, you know, talked about his time here in America and if he was here for good or not. And, you know, he told us about he was going back to his home country in a few months, and it was just a great experience. And of course, he told us all about the animals. And our previous stay, we actually had a savanna view, which I was blown away by. Just, you know, we rented points on a studio room, and we were in the front of the resort, which, you know, originally that part did not have a savanna, but they added that on when they added the other part of the resort. So we had a savanna view our previous time. This time we had a pool view, and it was gorgeous. We walked into that room and opened up the curtain, and wow, you know, we could see the pool area and the vegetation. It was just beautiful. So, you know, we took advantage of all of that, and we did dine at Chico and at Boma. Boma is my favorite Walt Disney World restaurant, so we got to go there.
Yes.
And then we did Chico for the first time, and that was a good experience. That's very fine dining. So I'm glad we tried that. I don't know that we would do that particular restaurant every trip, because it's, you know, it's white tablecloth kind of stuff, you know. But it was a very good experience. So while we did some of the things at the resort, we did not do everything. And, of course, some wasn't appropriate for us. But there's a lot to do there and that can keep a family busy without even going to the parks.
Absolutely. You know, like I've said on previous shows, because I've never stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but I've gone there to eat many times. And this is one of those places, it's so worth going over there just for the evening if you're not a guest at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but just to walk around and check it out, because this is just... I mean, we love Disney for the way they can take us places that we've never been. Animal Kingdom Lodge is 100%, you know, example of how they do this so well. I mean, you walk in and you would swear it smells like Africa, I guess would smell. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Africa, but it gives me the feel of Africa, you know, and I've never been close to Africa. I mean, you kind of get what I'm saying. It's really well done.
Right. It is. And, you know, I've taken pictures in our previous stays, and you know, I just can't resist, and I take the same pictures again of the resort and the lobby and the savannah and you know, everything around the inside and the outside, and you just can't resist because it's gorgeous. And you know, you walk into the front area when you get there with your car or whatever, you know, and they've got African music playing, and the day we left they actually had some people playing out front, playing some African music live on drums and stuff, and so that was really neat. It is the total experience. Very, very fun.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Disney at its best, so make sure, you know, people say it's a little bit out of the way, but totally worth taking the effort to get over there. So now you mentioned, you know, you had some good experiences eating at Boma. Love that place. That's a great place to eat. Chico is one of the signature restaurants around Walt Disney World, so if you're looking for something special, go there. But you guys were on the regular dining plan, so did you feel this was a good fit for this trip?
Yes. This was actually our first time to be on the regular dining plan. We had... first experienced the dining plan on our previous trip in March of 2010, and we did the quick service. Mm-hmm. And we were just sold on that. That worked out really well, and you know, we were like, well, we're doing this again. And so this time I said, well, let's step it up to the regular dining plan. And, you know, it works similar. There's a little bit of differences, but... the only thing only negative, I guess, and I know a lot of people say this, is, you know, the tip is not included. And I know they have their reasons for that, but it is a bit of a pain to have to add that on. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a big deal. Other than that, though, we love the dining plan and tried to take advantage of it by eating more evening meals where the prices are a little higher. Yeah. So, you know, you're getting a... And there's a few more things on the menu typically also that they don't have at lunch. So we tried to do that, and I knew, of course, going in that Chico was going to cost me 2 credits, and so, you know, we planned accordingly. That was very much worth it. We, as I said, ate at Boma for a dinner the night we got back, or, you know, the day we got back from the cruise. We ate dinner that night there. Kind of kick off our the land part of our trip, and
very nice.
And of course enjoyed that. I think my wife and I both agree we really prefer of breakfast and dinner at Boma. We prefer breakfast, but they're both good experiences. And you know, for someone who hasn't been there, they've got plenty there on their buffet to please picky eaters. But if you're adventurous, this is a great place to go and to try some different things from different parts of the world. So I really do enjoy going to Boma. We also ate for the first time at Via Napoli.
Oh, nice.
Now, this was the highlight. at least as far as our dining of our entire trip, even including the cruise. It was really, really good. Great atmosphere. I was fairly busy when we walked in, but we had an ADR and got seated immediately. Had a great waiter, and of course, we had to try the pizza, and we got different kinds so we could share. Got the individual pizza for each one of us, which was perfect. It was four fairly large slices, and of course, it's that wood grilled pizza, you know, got little burn spots on the bottom, you know, and a thin crust, and wow, what an excellent meal. That was awesome. And, you know, I say it's about time because Disney has not had good pizza in the past, but this is good pizza. And I would encourage people to go there and give that a shot.
Now you're making me feel guilty because I still haven't been to Via Napoli. I missed it this past trip. And, you know, it's one of those things, like I saw it when I was walking around World Showcase, but I don't know, I guess maybe I'm stuck in that situation where I tend to go to the same places that I like, and it's a newer place and it's not on my radar. But let me tell you, Jimmy, that, you know, Ricky raves about this place. Other folks rave about it. Now you know, when you're comparing that to the cruise line, you know, restaurant experiences and, you know, Boma and stuff like that, that tells me something. So definitely going to have to check that out here when I get to go down for Food and Wine.
Yeah, that's a great experience. And of course, we didn't try anything else. I mean, we had a dessert, of course, which was on our dining plan, which was awesome too. I don't remember exactly what we had, but I remember it was very good. But of course, you know, they've got a lot of other Italian dishes there that we're going to have to try. But it's going to be hard to get past that pizza, you know, even on our next trip, because it was just so, so good. And I remember specifically I had the four cheese pizza, which, of course, doesn't come. It's just a white pizza, I think is what they call it. Doesn't have any tomato sauce. And the waiter said, "Now, you understand there's no tomato sauce." I said, "Yes, sir, I know what this is." And, boy, it was just really, really good. Definitely the highlight of our dining. Some other places that we ate that were really good, we tried the La Hacienda. And we ended up doing that actually the night before the cruise. I know you all had planned to have a meet, and we really wanted to be there with all of you, but I had this ADR at La Hacienda and had a late one so that we could watch Illuminations, and I just didn't want to break that. And, you know, we missed being with all of you, but that worked out really well. They seated us. We had an 8:15 p.m. ADR, which, of course, you know, was like 45 minutes before Illumination. So I thought, well, this should work out really well. And so they seated us toward the back of the restaurant, and on the one side of the restaurant, they have those big booths that in the shape of a U or a C, where you can sit a bunch of people. And I was kind of surprised they sat us there, but maybe they were just being nice, but it was perfect. There was a window across from us, and when Illumination started and the globe comes out and finally sits, you know, there in the middle of the water, it was right in that window for us, so we could see all of that. The music is piped in, and they, of course, they dim the lights, and it was perfect. It's a great place to see Illuminations and enjoy some good food, and of course, you're sitting in the air conditioning, which is nice, as we know in the summer.
Yes.
And the food was really good too, and good service and everything. So that was another highlight as far as our dining. We will definitely be going back to La Hacienda.
Yeah, it's strange now because Mexico has two very good counter service options. You know, San Angel, I think, it's on the rebound, and now you have La Hacienda. So, you know, Mexican food is very popular, so I think the demand is there, but it's, you know, quite unique that there's two very good sit-down options now in Mexico. And I'm glad to hear that you had a great meal there, because we ate there as well, but we were earlier in the evening, like 6 o'clock. And, you know, I don't know. I might prefer San Angel Inn as far as the food, but the atmosphere inside La Hacienda was hard to beat.
Yes, it is. And being able to see Illuminations, you know, I made that ADR on Pam's recommendation. I know she had talked about that several times on the podcast and on the boards, and I said, okay, we're gonna do this, and it was a great decision. So I would encourage people to give that a shot. And you know, we could have actually bumped up our ADR to 8 o'clock or maybe even earlier, a few minutes before 8, and still been able to see illuminations, because, you know, after the show was over, we were, you know, just then finishing up our desserts. So, you know, and that was a good 20 minutes after 9. So, you know, we were there well over an hour. And so, you know, they stretched out our meal nice for us and worked out really well.
Great tips for folks that are planning their ADRs. Now you have lots to think about. If you're making your ADR soon, Jimmy's giving you lots to think about. So maybe you're taking out that pen and scratching out some things and putting question marks. Now, this is what this is all about, you know, getting people's thoughts on, you know, Walt Disney World in general. So hopefully this is helping folks today. Now, let's get into, you did something I haven't done as well, and I've seen it, but I've been close, but I've never been in. And that's the Wishes Dessert Party at the Magic Kingdom. So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I had read about this, like you, on the message boards, and had investigated it, and, you know, I had read most people were, you know, really enjoyed it and said it was a great experience. There were a few who had issues with it. After having done it ourselves, I would say it was an okay experience from our perspective. The desserts were awesome. You know, it's there at the in tomorrow, going into Tomorrowland, of course, at the old Tomorrowland noodle station. They set you out on the outer part on the patio there, and they told us to be there at 9 p.m. and we got there about 10 till, and it was a fairly long line, and so we waited a few minutes, and they gave us wristbands, and we went on in, and we were on the front row. And I guess that's because, I don't know, it may have been because I had booked it so early. You know, I'm one of these people that does everything 180 days out, exactly, yes. You know, right at 6 a.m., you know.
Good stuff.
But so anyways, we had made that, and we were on the front row, and so I thought, this is going to be great. And, you know, went up and got some desserts and drinks. They had all kinds of things you can imagine, just chocolate everywhere, and then all kinds of other things, and lots of different drinks. So you go get your own, and you come back to your table. And of course, at that time, the Main Street Electrical Parade was going on. And from our perspective, I could not see it real well. You know, you can see what's going on, especially if you know the parade. And of course, you can hear the music great. But it's not a prime spot, in my opinion, for seeing the parade. But anyways, that was going on, and then you know, the fireworks got ready to start. And I think here is where I got a little flustered. You know, we had a front row seat. I had booked early, and then, you know, 2 or 3 minutes before the show starts, all the people behind us got up and came and stood at the ledge.
No.
And so, you know, that was kind of a bummer. So we ended up standing up too, so that we could see. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I had these seats, and I paid a fairly good price for these, and now I've got to stand up. So that was a bit of a bummer. And I don't know if that happens every night, but it did on ours. So, you know, it was a good experience, and the food was awesome. I probably wouldn't do it again anytime soon. It is a bit pricey. I don't remember the exact cost that I paid, but I probably wouldn't do it again. It was just, you know, I wanted to be able to sit from a good
sure.
place and watch the show. And then because we didn't get to see the parade really well, and hadn't seen that particular parade in many years, we stayed in the park afterwards and went back to around the Hall of Presidents and sat on a bench and watched the late parade so we could actually see it up close. So that was our experience with the Wishes Dessert Party.
Well, it's cool that you gave it a shot, you know, and things like that do happen. I mean, we know that, you know, not everything is as we want it to be down at Walt Disney World. It's a shame that happened. I'm sorry that did, but, you know, hopefully everybody can learn from that. I would imagine that probably does happen more often than not, because it's just that mentality that we see down at Walt Disney World. Like, as soon as the fireworks start, it feels, and I'm not putting anybody down, but it seems like people get this excitement level. And I think a lot of times they forget about their fellow guests because they're jockeying for that perfect spot to see the show. And unfortunately, that comes at the, you know, the cost of other guests a lot of times.
Well, and you know, as we were enjoying our desserts, I had heard another couple, a few tables over, ask, you know, can we go stand by the ledge? And the cast member said something to the effect of yes. And you know, I didn't hear the whole conversation, and so I was like, well, I thought everybody would just stay seated. But you know, I certainly wouldn't want anybody to not try it because of our experience.
Sure.
You know, overall, it's still a good experience. I was just a little bummed by that part of it.
Well, you know, you gave it a shot, and that's, you know, that's what it's all about. So one more thing I want to talk to you about on today's show, because this is one of those things I've been meaning to do, and it's one of those things I have to work in the time, because this past time I took a new tour. I did the Marceline to the Magic Kingdom tour, which I really liked. But one thing I really want to do is a Segway tour, and you did a Segway tour on your vacation. So fill us in on this and let us know everything that happened.
Well, now, as you may know, there's actually two or three different Segway mm-hmm. tours that go on. I know originally we had planned to do the one over at the Wilderness Campgrounds, the off-road Segway tour. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, it's going to be really difficult to get over there from the Animal Kingdom Lodge as early as we would need to be for that first tour.
True.
And I didn't want to do the later one because it gets so hot in
True.
The summer. So I decided against that tour, and we had done the regular Segway tour already twice, and the one that goes around World Showcase. And I highly recommend that to anybody. That is an awesome tour. But we had read about this new one that they had called the Nature-Inspired Segway Tour. And I told my wife, let's give that a try. We haven't done it, and we enjoyed doing the Segways. That is a great experience. Those are fun to ride. I'd like to have one to ride around here.
me too.
But that tour was probably, I would have to say, the best tour that we've taken. And like you, we've taken several over at the Magic Kingdom and at Epcot. So I think when we got done, we both agreed this was the best tour we've ever taken. And it was just me and my wife that were on the tour.
Really? That's nice.
And it was only two of us. And we had two instructors, so it was a total of four of us. And, I mean, they treated us like royalty. And the great part about this tour is of course, where you get to go. I think it was a three-hour tour, if I remember correctly. But, of course, you spend the first hour or so inside over in Interventions, and inside there. And they teach you how, you know, to do the Segway. You have to watch a film and, you know, this kind of stuff. And, of course, since we had some experience, I mean, it was just like, you know, getting back on a bicycle. You know, it was just a couple minutes and we were raring to go. And so a little bit of training, and then they take you outside. And at that point, there are some people in Future World, you know, just a few people walking around. Of course, you're like a celebrity when you're on one of these things. You know, people are looking around, and I heard this one guy say, "How do you get a ride on one of those?" You know, and so you're really like a celebrity. It's pretty cool. But the best part of this tour was that they backdoor you into Soarin', and we got on the very first ride of the morning, and they took us in the back door. And there's a cast member. As soon as they open the door, there's a Soarin' cast member there to greet us, just like they were waiting for us. You know, welcome. You know, you're going to be the first ones. We were the very first couple in line, and we waited a couple minutes, and here comes the regular guest and to get in line with us. And they seated us up on the center of the top row, so we didn't have anybody's feet in our face or anything.
Nice.
And then as soon as we were done, the two instructors were there to meet us, and we went off on another journey, and they took us then to they backdoored us into the Living Seas, and told us a lot about what goes on there. And there was a Living Seas cast member there that gave us a tour of the whole place, and told us about what they do for the animals and that kind of stuff, and then took us around and showed us all the different parts of the aquarium. And, what kind of creatures you have there and everything. And then the last part of the tour, they took us just around the back. took us to some places, and it was kind of over. I remember being able to see the Disney bus loading area.
Yeah.
Through the vegetation and the fence. I was trying to figure out where we were, and I told my wife, well, I see where the buses are. So we were on that side of Future World in the back, and we talked with a lady about how they do the water system there at Epcot. It's very informative, and so they involve a lot of other cast members and experts and things like that. They took us back where they grow the extra trees and flowers so they can, you know, something, if vegetation dies or gets damaged, they can replace it overnight. And that was amazing to see all of the vegetation that they have prepared to go at a moment's notice. And then they took us to what I thought was a really neat area where it's just a big drainage area. Of course, there was no water in it at the time, but they said this is the overflow area for the Living Seas. We can drain the entire Living Seas into this area.
Wow.
If needed. And so I thought, wow, that was pretty cool. So we actually rode around the edge, the top of that, and on our Segways. You know, there was quite a few areas where we were off-road, I guess you would say. And anyways, it was a great experience. And, you know, I would advise you, if you're at all interested in backstage tours, this is a good one. Really a lot of fun, well worth the money.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome to take these tours because, and I know there's lots to do without ever going on a tour down at Walt Disney World. Lord knows there's so much to do, but for folks that are fans like you probably are, if you're listening to our show today, there's something to be said for getting to peek behind the curtain, or like you said, you know, I would have never expected, you know, when you told me about this nature-inspired Segway tour, that you would be first on Soarin'. You know, a lot of times these tours give you lots of unadvertised, very special perks, which I think you've seen that on your other tours as well, that it kind of tells you in the description what you're going to do. But many times there are a lot of, you know, maybe two or three little secrets they don't tell you that you get along the way as well.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I had read several reviews of this, and one person did say that, you know, that it doesn't always, you know, the cast member told him it doesn't always happen this way, but, you know, the reviews I read, you know, pretty much were right in line with what we got to do. So, you know, we decided this sounds like a lot of fun, and it really was.
You know, I think today's show really proves the point that if you do your homework when it comes to planning your Disney vacation, you can have a great Disney vacation, whether it's saving your money or having, you know, great seats at super restaurants or, you know, really good tours. Just the thing is, if you put in just a little time or work with somebody that, you know, will help you do that as well, you're gonna get so much out of your Disney vacation. But you just gotta, you know, you gotta have a plan. As much as we don't like to plan everything out, and I'm not a planner of everything, but if you know, if you just think about what you really want to get out of your vacation, like it sounds like you really did, that you know, that almost assures you that when you get there, you're gonna have a great time.
Well, that's very true, and you know, I'm a type A, and I'm a planner, and you know, like a lot of people, and you know, the people that would listen to your show. Like a lot of them, I get as much of a kick out of planning as I do going to Walt Disney World. You know, I can plan for months and months, and you know, I'm having a hard day at work. I can think about I'm going to go home and you know check out some things on the internet for my trip, and you know, it makes you feel better. And it's you know, it's my hobby. This is what I do. I plan for my next trip.
Absolutely, and you're preaching to the choir right there. I'm sure everybody's nodding right along with you today here on a Monday. And Jimmy, thank you so much for sitting down with me today, and you had so many great tips. A lot of people are going to get so much out of today's show, and I wish you a great school year coming up. Work, you know, have good luck with the kids.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, don't forget that today's episode was brought to you by the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to plan that next great Disney adventure, it helps to have a partner in your planning, whether it's to help you with those ADRs, get you some background on, you know, maybe three resorts you're thinking about, which one's going to work out best for your family, all that kind of stuff. A great agent over at the Magic for Less will help you do that. And don't forget, they are the official travel agency of the Be Our Guest podcast. So if you want to support the podcast, support the folks who support us. They'd really appreciate it. Get all your information over at www.themagicforless.com. Don't forget about Magical Mouse Radio. We are spreading the sounds of Walt Disney World 24 hours a day, 7 days a week over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And, you know, just hit the schedule there at MagicalMouseRadio.com, and you can see all of our shows. We have our Animal Kingdom Hours, you know, twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Of course, we have Cosmic Reads All Request Cafe each Monday afternoon, and just all kinds of specialty shows. We play all Magic Kingdom stuff on Monday mornings to kick off your week the right way, of course, after you listen to our show. So don't forget to check it out over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Don't forget to download the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app. It's out there for all smartphones, and it'll keep you in touch with the Be Our Guest Podcast. You can listen to the show right there in the app. You can get on the forums. You can get on our Facebook group, all that great stuff. It's called the Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Planner app, available in your smartphone's app store right now, and it's absolutely free. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter. We're twitter.com/BeOurGuestMike and on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And we'd love it if you would like us on Facebook this week. Just go over to facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and join in on the conversation that is always turning over on Facebook. And of course, we talk Disney all the time on our forums over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Get in on the conversation. Lots of great Disney friends over there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for all of you who are planning on running in the Food and Wine Half Marathon weekend, whether it's the 5K or the half marathon, keep working out. You guys, I've seen you on Twitter. Congratulations on all these training runs. I know right now we're kind of in the doldrums of summer, and it seems a long way until that race weekend, but just keep plugging along with your programs and keep working out. Your body's going to thank you for it, and you're going to have a great time on that weekend when you take the first step in your Disney race, and you're going to have even a better time when you cross that finish line and get to wear that Disney medal around your neck. So keep working out. I'm going to try to do the same, but we'll keep supporting each other, you know, on Twitter, on Facebook, and just keep working toward that goal. You know, like Lou says, keep moving forward. Do that in your race training. So we thank you so much for starting your week with us here on the show. You are a true friend. I can't thank you enough for downloading our podcast. So I wish you a very great week. So for Jimmy, I'm Mike saying have a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.